To Want. Written by Demery. Read by Opalsong. Fandom, My Hero Academia. Rating, explicit. Relationship, Aizawa Shota, Yagi Toshinori. Also tagged for, light bondage, angst, emotional / psychological abuse, abuse of power, emotions, breakdowns and breakthroughs, sex, and emotional hurt comfort. Part 9 of the Bandages and Bravado series. Author's Notes. Aizawa momentarily abuses the power pact here, maybe triggering to anyone who has endured something similar, but then realizes it and amends. So breathe through it. This transition / epiphany definitely could have been done in a gentler, healthier way, but they're heroes, so sometimes they get mad and rush. The news filtered through the student body and faculty quickly, like a wave of silence. 3 students hospitalized and a villain named Stain in custody. The nominally happy ending carried with it a whiff of something solemn and violent, carried as echoes over the internet in the form of a propaganda video. All of the faculty gathered in some way to share their concerns and make a plan. But 4 in particular came together in the aftermath of the hero killer incident, as if drawn by a dark gravity. The arrangements were simple, and no further discussion was needed as to where, when, or how. The very next night, the 4 heroes huddled on couches in Aizawa's apartment with largely untouched drinks, speaking softly of things done and undone. None of them should have been there in the first place. How could we have missed it? Ida taking an internship in the same city that Stain attacked his brother. Now we have to worry about that madman's manifesto making the rounds on the internet. Now Masa with the police says his net crime unit is taking care of it, but more keep cropping up, and they just don't know how. Who has this kind of time? It makes me worry what they want. We're lucky Endeavor was there, even just as a scapegoat. Otherwise, this could have ruined the student's school track. Permanently. Those lucky bastards. It was one of those times that the painstakingly structured, expensive, seamless illusion of what they were doing, for the children, for the world at large, skipped a beat and broke, dissolving, unstable and dangerous for everyone involved. The world itself was dangerous, however. And now they were staring down the barrel of a dark escalation that they hadn't seen since quirks truly began to manifest and selfish people began to extort the helpless. Toshinori knew. He knew too well. It was, in part, his legacy. And he knew if he weren't stopped, tomorrow would be even more dangerous for the children. There might not be much of a world to save after that. The solemn conversation and its implications left Toshinori nearly bent double on Aizawa's couch, hands interlocked over his knees, as the small meeting ended late in the evening. The door closed quietly behind Nemuri and Yamada, who left the apartment more sober than they'd likely ever been, with Yamada's arm looped around his friend, more for his comfort than hers. Toshinori and Aizawa sat alone in the living room and breathed, in the dense, cold silence always left by such serious conversations, each surfacing in their own way. "I'm assuming you've already seen Midoriya in the medical ward?" Aizawa said abruptly from his seat, demeanor verging on surly. He was clearly not coping well with this happening to his students, and he had fought to restrain his anger all night, even snapping at his two closest friends. Toshinori had borne the rudeness, without comment, or even the slightest flicker of reaction. "Yes," he replied after too long of a pause, voice faint. "He's recovering well." "Yeah, thanks to recovery, girl. You encourage that kid too much, or provoke him. I'm not sure which," Aizawa muttered into his glass. He glared at nothing in particular. "I'm starting to think it's your fault that he rushes into things like he does, aiming to break his entire body just to get one hit in. It sounds like you." His tone was insulting. It was meant to sting, to gouge in that way that only Aizawa could. All Might couldn't feel much of anything, so he just shook his head. "Without Midoriya, Ida would be dead right now, by any stretch of the imagination," he said mournfully. He put his hands to his mouth, swallowing, and the pulse of pain rang through his hollow chest. "Along with Native, and who knows how many others, I can't regret his impulsiveness right now. He saved his friends. And without Todoroki, we'd be looking at a class of 18. Aizawa gave a tense sigh, and the hard bristle of energy he'd kept up all night wavered slightly. His previous two-day stint was apparently catching up with him, and the darkness underneath his eyes aged him a year or two. Briefly, Toshinori wished he had the presence of mind to be worried about his friend and his sleep. After a moment, Aizawa sat back and shook his head. "It's a certain kind of impressive that they manage the situation. They're not the first to get themselves into something like that during an internship, but shit. At least they're building the kind of bonds that will cultivate a career and a support network. They're going to have to learn when to call for help, though. That kind of attitude could kill you your first week of patrol." All Might said nothing, instead palming his glass between his huge hands. He couldn't drink the water, by now stale with all the heavy words spoken over it. He may as well have been a cold vessel himself. Something dangerous and noxious sloshing inside him. No need to eat or drink, nothing to sustain. "You're quiet," Aizawa commented. Toshinori knew it was only a matter of time before the observant man realized he hadn't spoken all evening, and he almost felt Aizawa mull over it and frown. "You couldn't be there. You couldn't have known." Toshinori shook his head, absently carting his fingers through his flyaway hair. For once, Aizawa missed the mark. "These things do happen. I'm impressed and relieved they managed to make it out, of course," he admitted. Then his voice caught. "Especially against such a motivated enemy." The silence of the living room thickened, tensed. Aizawa's cup hit the table, as if from very far away. "You didn't answer when I asked who had watched the video." Toshinori closed his eyes. Of course he had. There was a reason he didn't want to volunteer that information, mostly because he wanted to avoid thinking about it for as long as possible. Aizawa's mind worked too fast for him, and he had to admit he wasn't ready for this conversation. Part of him wanted to get up and excuse himself, and the other part, the larger part, was too tired, too heartbroken. It hurt to see justice twisted on itself, to see a man so much in pain that he would only allow one person to kill him, and to be the one to have to bear that burden. "Toshinori, did you know him?" Aizawa asked cautiously. For the first time, his name on the other man's mouth didn't produce a thrill. "Did he? He could have been any child in the presentation hall. He could have shook his tiny hand and not known it, smiled that stupid, empty smile, ignorant that it would cut like a dagger so many years down the road. How could he have stopped this from happening? He must have had a chance, somehow, sometime, to show him another way. But there was no way. Stain was lost to the system, the very system that led him to such vicious murders. All in the name of justice and heroism. No, Toshinori said, dread rising high in his throat and subsuming his aching body. He looked down at his steepled fingers. But he knew me. Aizawa snorted. Toshinori looked over to find the younger hero glaring at him from his chair, arms locked across his chest and his reins. Bullshit. He brushed his hair from his face with a look of derision. Look, that video was disturbing, but there's no reason to take it personally. This kind of thing happens, too. People get bitter, twist the facts to fit their agenda. When you used to be that hero, you have no choice but to take it personally. Toshinori said, almost to himself. Are you fucking kidding me? Aizawa demanded, sharp again. I thought it was impossible. But here you are blaming yourself for what? Being an inspiration? To a villain? He didn't have a response, and couldn't bring himself to speak anyway. Slowly his head fell. Aizawa scoffed in disgust, and it chafed the older hero's tired heart, making him wish he were alone in his misery. I can't believe you. You'll take any excuse. A few feet away, Aizawa got up angrily from his chair, wrestling the blinds closed with one hand and closing out the gentle glow of the university town, along with any semblance of connection to the outside world. He went about cleaning up after his visitors, stacking glasses and gathering empty cans. It was something he didn't normally do, which is how Toshinori guessed he was genuinely agitated. The older hero pushed a breath through his nose, eyes stinging. He just wanted tonight to end. What the fuck, Toshinori? You're exhausting. Do you just want someone to beat you to death and save you the trouble of doing it yourself? You seem to find some value in it. Being beaten, I mean, he said quietly, thinking of midnight and their conversation. There was a clang, curt and hollow. An empty beer can lay by Aizawa's foot. And it took All Might a moment to realize that the end of the hero's reins, formerly hanging loose, were snapping against his leg in small, furious motions. He made the mistake of looking up. Aizawa's quirk was already active, the dark, tangible pressure lifting his hair off his shoulders and daggering blood red out of his furious eyes. The cans rattled in his arms, fingers white. Despite himself, Toshinori reached for the back of the couch, thin body tensing. You shut your fucking mouth! Aizawa hissed, reins lifting and furrowing under his jawline with malevolent slowness. Aizawa-kun, Toshinori began faintly, but the younger hero cut him off, eyes flashing. Don't talk about things you don't understand. I don't take pain to drown any petty self-loathing, you ignorant dipshit. I do it so I can sleep and control my idiot body and stay sane. I shared what I did with you because I thought you could benefit or just realize you need basic care. His voice contracted, raw and possibly hurt. But if you think I was making space for you here so one day I'd hang you up and beat you like you think you deserve, you can get the fuck out. For the first time since USJ, Toshinori was truly frightened. It was a base fear, that of physical pain and endings and the rage visible in Eraserhead's clawed hands, but also of severed connections. Above it all, he was viscerally frightened of losing this strange space he had with the man in front of him, who seemed ready to disavow him entirely on an errant comment. He hadn't even realized that what they did, what he and Midnight did, were in the same category of thing. And the void of what he didn't know opened up beneath him, giving him vertigo. Suddenly, it was all fraught, all helplessly complicated, and he was too stupid to navigate it and keep anything that mattered to him. Of course, it was only a matter of time before he messed this up, just like everything else. Even as he thought it, he hated himself. Wasn't that exactly what his fellow instructor was talking about? His pathetic, self-flagellating nature, housed in an emaciated excuse for a body. The sticky morass of his own self-sabotage caught him the more he struggled, weight added by Aizawa's clear disdain and unchecked rage. If he wasn't certain that Aizawa had actually been letting him into some kind of sacred confidence before, in their sessions, he was sure now. In the same way you become aware of a window as you crash through it. "I don't want to leave," Toshinori said, his hoarse voice trembling slightly with the effort of being so very, very careful. "And I'm sorry." "Of course you are," Aizawa snapped immediately, derisive, like it was exactly what he expected, and he hated it. "All you do is apologize, Toshinori. The great fucking All Might taking responsibility for everything from world peace to vigilante villains to gravity, but can't be bothered to eat or sleep when he needs it." He stalked into the kitchen, and there was a crash as he threw the cups and cans into the sink. Toshinori winced, the sounds jangling and singeing his exposed nerves. He couldn't quite breathe. Aizawa yelled out of the kitchen, more clanging following. "Not a fucking ounce of personal responsibility, and you think I give a shit what you feel bad about? Name one thing you're not sorry for." "Meeting you." It came out of him like a prayer, the only answer he had. Toshinori blinked and ducked his head again, his heart pounding. Aizawa wasn't even in the room, and he stared down at his knees, heart in his throat. "You were exceptional and honest. I appreciate that, even when it's painful to hear." He heard rather than saw him come back. Aizawa was silent. He didn't sit, but stood at the shuttered window, back to him. His reins were still, but that just meant he'd gotten himself under control. And Toshinori was genuinely more frightened of what he would do and say in a rational headspace, because it would be right. It said something about his relationship with the truth that he hoped Aizawa stayed silent for just a little longer, long enough for him to apologize. "I appreciate what you've done for me, very much. I've been underestimating it, I think, but not on purpose. It's not what I'm used to, and I didn't mean to say anything insulting about you or what you do. You've been incredibly kind, patient." He struggled for the right words to say to take away the younger man's anger. It was a passive kind of pleading, and it seemed to have the opposite effect on Aizawa, who raised a hand. "And yet you still don't get it. You're still not learning," he said angrily, backhanding the blinds out of sheer frustration. "You still hate yourself for things you can't control and make your worry everyone else's fucking problem. And you're not even trying to address it. You push yourself too hard, like you're trying to break what's left of your body. And even when it's on a silver platter in front of you, God forbid you ask for what you actually want." Toshinori knew all that. He did. And if he were to answer honestly, before that night, he had no intention of letting go of either of those traits, because they felt like the one thing left that could justify his existence. It was his penance, and he claimed it, as much as he claimed the wound in his side. Things that slowly killed him, even as he insisted he wanted to live. But it was the last part that caught his attention. "What's that stupid look for?" Aizawa was glaring at him over his shoulder, but it didn't pierce the haze of confusion in the older hero's mind. "What do I actually want?" Toshinori made himself ask, voice faint. Aizawa's eyes flashed red again, murderous, He turned away from the window and strode towards the older hero with a snarl, an actual sound of tearing frustration. "Get up," he ordered, pointing at the floor in front of him. "Get the fuck up." This was it, Toshinori thought. It's over. I'm sorry, Aizawa-kun. If you want me to leave that badly..." "No," he snapped, impatiently gestured Toshinori onto his feet, yanking the reins from his neck into his palms. "I'm hanging you one more fucking time. That or you go home. Now choose." He should have said no. Maybe he should have considered the fact that, while he didn't know much about it overall, Aizawa definitely wasn't in the correct frame of mind for this kind of thing. They didn't have a plan, and this wasn't likely to end in a relaxing bit of physical therapy. Though the trappings were the same, it felt different from anything else they'd done, and that should have possibly scared him. But in the end, he consented. Toshinori didn't know why, but there was no other option for him at that moment. Maybe it was that last little bit of him that wanted to be punished for what he'd done, what he'd begun in his failure to simply be there, which had almost ended in the death of his protege and a heartbroken young brother last night. Toshinori stood. It was a mark of Aizawa's anger that all it took was a silent nod from the older hero to get his reins in the air, whipping tight around his wrists and ankles with no support for his torso. Aizawa made no move to check the restraints, and Toshinori just hung there, ruined body spread and vulnerable, to the strangely furious silence and the weight of the other man's glare. The hero, once known as All Might, flexed his hands and stared at the wall in front of him, struggling to keep his breathing steady. This was not the peaceful captivity he knew, and already the restraints were cutting into his wrists. His mind was viciously blank, shaking in time with his heartbeat. "What do you want?" Aizawa asked, biting every word. "I thought you were going to tell me," Toshinori whispered after a moment, his voice beginning to shake. Something reared up in the corner of his vision, and a rein slapped across his eyes so quickly it jolted his body in the restraints, a sharp pain flaring across his nose. He grimaced, yanking to right himself. "I'm not playing this game with you." Aizawa sounded like he was breathing fire or black ice, and sound was all Toshinori had to go by now. Yet the younger hero was clearly playing with him in some way. It wasn't so much the physical punishment that upset him, but the other man's dogged insistence on the question. What did he expect him to say? "Aizawa, please," he said. No honorifics. He cleared his throat to force back a cough. He couldn't afford to have a fit right now. He might choke. "I don't know what you're talking about. Honestly, I don't mean to waste your time." "Then don't. The first time we worked together, I accidentally touched your neck and you wanted something." Aizawa's low, relentless tone may as well have been fists pummeling him. Panic dropped, hot and ugly, into Toshinori's gut, and he drew away uncomprehendingly in the restraints, even as he knew what was coming. "The last time you were here on that couch and tied, my hands were on your leg and you wanted something. In fact, your body seemed to think you needed it. What was it?" The hand on his thigh. The offer that he hadn't dared think was an offer. The ruined hero hung, and his hands were numb, and he was panicking in the dark, panting, getting lightheaded from terror. All of Aizawa's presence and anger and cutting expectation was now a weight on his lung, crushing and worsening indefinitely when he yanked curtly at the reins. "Don't try to hide. Lift your head," the younger hero said coldly, and the rein across his eyes painstakingly forced his chin up. Toshinori choked on nothing more than pure shame, swallowing the blood that threatened to drip over his lips. "I offered it to you. You said no, and I respected that. But tell me, what did you want?" He couldn't say it. He would die before he said it, if just because the shame of admitting it would kill him. Shit. The idea that he wanted so badly this man to touch him intimately or kiss him or just be near him when he hadn't been with someone in so long. The sheer idea that Aizawa would want to do it out of anything other than obligation or pity. Toshinori could hear the underground hero's breath grating in and out in the absolute silence. Hateful and harsh. But then, worse, slowing. The emotion slowed to nothing but a steady metronome. The basest indication of life. Impartial. Arbitrary. Like he thought Aizawa was before all of this. And the return to that same coldness stripped the older hero of any bit of hope he had left. Fine. You're done. I'm done too. He murmured. Toshinori's tired heart spasmed painfully, collapsing into the blackness of his blindfold. Coward. The reins shifted around Toshinori's burning wrists, ready to slacken and throw him to the floor, and he blurted out, I wanted to kiss you. There was a pause, maybe long, maybe short. Toshinori had no sense of time other than his pounding heart. Is that all you wanted? The past tense helped, like he was talking about another person from another time. Not the feelings torturing his body here, now. Fear, but he still remembered the want. How could he not? Toshinori shook his head. Then what? He bit his lip. Hung. Aizawa made another angry sound. Probably a gesture. We're both adults. You're tied up and have nowhere to hide. No reason to lie. And I'm giving you every opportunity. Why are you having such a hard time admitting that you want something so simple and obvious? He demanded, reins shaking empathetically with his frustration. Aizawa gave him a chance to answer, or speak, then continued in softer, more insistent tones when Toshinori said nothing. You wanted to be touched. You wanted some kind of sex, and I've made it more than clear that I'm willing to do it for you. Why are you acting like you can't just fucking ask? Because I don't. It's just... Toshinori's breath began to catch in panic, but he forced himself to speak, words tumbling out one after another, and cutting his throat on the way out, familiar blood filling his mouth as his hateful body fell apart all around him. This body, the idea that someone would ever want to touch it, I've never... It's... laughable, and I know you think I don't have a very good sense of humor, and I'm incredibly attracted to you, but I just don't... wouldn't want to ask you to do something like that. The silence was deafening, and what he said next came in a whisper, almost unbidden. Something you don't really want to do, even if you're willing. Toshinori's ears rang in the answering silence. Too much quiet, and he didn't have anything to help him block what was happening to his body, and the pain in his wrists and ankles just worsened the impression that he had just ripped himself apart. His breath came rough and shallow, rational mind finally phasing out in panic. But something touched his waist. The older hero yanked, tensed, but it was just more reins wrapping around his waist, lifting him up and easing the pressure from his wrists. He gasped, body folding, shaking. He coughed convulsively, unable to stop or even care about the warm blood on his lips or Aizawa's floor. Wouldn't be the first time. I'm sorry. Aizawa's voice was unlike anything he'd ever heard. So quiet and close it made Toshinori flinch. Warm hands touched his right wrist, ghosting over where the reins had rubbed his skin raw. Toshinori just shook his head frantically, coughs trailing off. He didn't want apologies. He wanted to come down. He was stranded in a dark version of the suspended place he had visited before, one where he was falling endlessly, caving in, dying more than he already was. I didn't mean to push you. He felt Aizawa come closer and tried not to recoil. The fingers on his wrist traced down his arm and his aching shoulders, finally, hesitantly coming to rest on his cheek. Toshinori breathed out wetly and grit his teeth, not knowing whether he wanted to or was even able to lean into the touch. I'm going to release you in just a second, but before I do, you need to know. I like this body. You're still transitioning from your old life, and I can't know what you left behind, but what I see isn't anything to be ashamed of. What happened next would be forever imprinted on Toshinori's mind, a memory he could pull from whenever he needed it. It changed him, dipped into the molten, fear-poisoned sieve of his mind at that moment and rearranged things for the rest of his life. And it was as simple as a list of what an incredibly honest man saw. You're tall, with a definite presence. Your shoulders are broad and sculpted. You have a deep collarbone and a long, graceful neck. It's always more prominent when you put your hair up, and it catches my eye. As he spoke, fingers brushed over broad shoulders, a sculpted collarbone, a long neck. Careful, simple, and hypnotic, just like his voice. Toshinori stilled uncomprehendingly. Somehow, he wasn't afraid anymore, and Aizawa waited a moment before continuing, cupping the older hero's cheek. I'm here. Follow me. Before tracing the line of his nose. Your features are interesting and honest. A straight nose and elegant cheekbones. Eyes too blue for comfort. A little alien, but captivating. Toshinori held his breath close as those fingers gently traced his lips, blood and all. A mouth too quick to smile, but soft, hopeful, powerful. He breathed a little slower, steadier. A light inside him, long dimmed, flickered once, twice. Your hands are scarred and calloused and big. You try to hold everything and everyone in them, but you can't. Tracing the line of his arms to show him where he was going next, Aizawa planted a light kiss on both of Toshinori's dinner plate palms, one after another, the previously numb area breaking out in ecstatic tingles. And that's okay. Toshinori let go of a shuddering breath. It was okay. Your back is bent but muscled, with sharp shoulder blades. You've carried a lot. It shows. But I like it. The way it looks and feels now, like this. The way you look and feel. I don't know everything, but I also don't think you lost anything important. As though coming full circle, warm, strong hands came to cup his face, and something touched his forehead. Silky, heavy hair fell across his temple, and he saw as much as felt Aizawa standing with their foreheads touching, holding his face, holding him aloft. You are not that body, and that was never your real power. Midoriya and the others need you more than they need All Might. Just like this. Like this. Toshinori, All Might, breathed in so deeply it sent a bolt of pain through his body. Eyes burning. What rhythm he'd regained crashed and collapsed in a sudden fit. Pure emotion surging viciously through him and his jumbled sense of self. He coughed. Gasped, made a sound like sobbing, and Aizawa wrapped him in his arms, pulling tight, adding another layer of restraint and safety. Fingers pushed gently through his hair, damp from sweat, and the panic went down little by little. Toshinori shuddered himself to silence and stillness, and white in that embrace. Damn it, he whispered into Aizawa's warm neck. Overcome. He was coming down, and it felt like his entire self was going to shake apart upon re-entry into his body and his life. But those arms only tightened, anchoring him against a hard chest that rose and fell with even, safe breaths. Aizawa moved after a moment, maybe to pull away, but Toshinori immediately stiffened, panicking. Not yet, he coughed, pleading. Please, I can't. Okay, fine. Shh. He hushed him, tugging on his hair again, warm hand gripping the back of his neck. I shouldn't have pushed you. No matter what you said, it was fucking stupid of me. I was angry. Damn it, does it hurt anywhere? Can you even feel your body? Toshinori shook his head. He couldn't, except for Aizawa's hands, which were making tracks in the white space that was his body, painting it back around his shaking insides with a gentle, methodical touch. Breathe. Come on, breathe for me. Aizawa hushed him again and again, but not in the way that shamed and silenced. It was a sound to follow and anchor himself to, low and hypnotic, like white noise that gave him space to find his breathing. And as he found it, Aizawa's strong, sure hands stroked his neck and shoulders, down the knotted plane of his back, grounding him into his body, breathing him back into his body. You're safe. You're here. You're safe. And nothing is going to happen to you or your body, okay? Toshinori finally nodded, sniffing wetly. His first clear thought was that he was going to die, that Aizawa and this thing that they did was going to kill him. But it was a sort of surly, mellow thought, so he welcomed it. He could feel his hands again. Toshinori sighed shakily, leaning into the curve of Aizawa's neck, and the darkness once again safe. And just to get any confusion out of the way right now, as for whether or not I want to touch you... Toshinori suddenly strained at the darkness of the blindfold, body tensing uncomprehendingly. Aizawa turned his head just enough to scrape their cheeks together and whispered against his chin, hot and close. If I were going to write that dirty interview, tying up a certain number one hero's mild-mannered secretary and having my way with him would be very high on the list. And I mean that. Toshinori's exhausted body began to tremble again, mind picking up pieces and running as fast as it could. The dirty interview, the first time they met, the first time Aizawa had showcased his talent for embarrassing him, teasing, how he wrapped him up and hung him in the hallway. And they didn't even know what would happen so many months later. Secretary? Not All Might? The timelines didn't mesh, and his mind was blown, and all he could smell was tea tree and pine. One clear thought remained. Aizawa was attracted to him. Wanted him. Like this. Read it to me. Your interview. He heard himself say. He suddenly needed to know. The younger hero paused and gave a short chuckle, more like a sigh. He leaned in and rubbed his cheek against Toshinori's jaw again in an indulgently feline motion, stubble gripping and scraping deliciously. Toshinori nearly blacked out from the intense sensation, mouth parting soundlessly. What do I like? Honesty. Simplicity. Fingers trailed up his back, shivers coming in uncontrolled waves now that Toshinori had been given permission to feel them and trust them. Willingness to learn. Again, the detached, oddly surly thoughts came. What a strange man. No one would read his naughty back magazine interview. No curb appeal. These underground heroes were an entirely different type. But then again... Teach me, Aizawa-sensei. Toshinori had intended to put on a breathy effect, but it came out positively wanton when his already ruined throat was taken into consideration. And Aizawa laughed. Aizawa Shota laughed, straight from his belly, and had to take a step away, maybe to bend over or steady himself. Toshinori couldn't tell in the dark. The reins wiggled in empathy, and the amazing sound trailed down into a low chuckle. It was too much for him, and for a moment, heart pounding, Toshinori felt like All Might. He was grinning so hard his cheeks hurt, body golden. He wondered how many people had actually heard this man laugh. Really laugh. Suddenly, the rain over his eyes was snapped away, And Toshinori blinked in the half-light, instantly seeking and focusing on Aizawa's face. The younger hero was smiling, and unless Toshinori's brain was as addled as he suspected, his expression had a certain hunger to it. "You idiot," he huffed, body cockeyed, loose and easy. Then the terror of 1A tilted his head, dissecting something with his dark eyes. "You look different." Aizawa reached forward and ran his hand through the older hero's wiry hair, clenching close to the scalp. And tingles plowed down Toshinori's spine. It was different, another level of intimacy and excitement, to have Aizawa's eyes on him as he touched and pulled. And as Toshinori reacted to his deft touch, his face was curious. "I feel different," Toshinori admitted, thrilling at the realization. His body didn't feel like a deflated shell at that moment. He was alive and relishing it, more energy than matter. He felt whole, almost powerful. "Good, your color is back too," he murmured, some kind of satisfied. "I still need you to feel out your body for me. Focus, Toshinori. Right hand." They'd done this before. The hand check. The reflex check. It felt unreal, but it wasn't painful. Except in the fact that it was making him wait. Toshinori realized he didn't want to wait any longer. "Aizawa said it," he reminded himself, again. Trying out the words, the idea. It was real. He wanted it too. "Aizawa-kun, I'm fine," he said, not caring how impatient he sounded. "Please stop fretting. There's nothing to worry about." Aizawa sighed, rubbing at his forehead with an almost overwhelmed expression. It was so strange to see him visibly stressed that Toshinori almost laughed. It reminded him of how he looked when they got Kaminari's English score back after that computer little mistake, and it was a negative number. "Fine, then. Do you still want that kiss?" the exhausted-looking instructor asked at length, tone uncommonly mild. "Yes," All Might said instantly, with a surreally easy smile, meaning it, wanting it. Aizawa took a moment to look over his probably idiotic face again and shake his head, then leaned down and kissed him. It was just a chaste press on his chapped lips, something blushing children would do, but it rocked Toshinori's whole body. It was the first kiss he had received in years, and from this man, this exacting, dark, delicious man. The gentle hand pressed to his chest nearly crushed him, and the air he had left from his whole experience, intensifying his need for something more. It had press and heat, the promise of something that left lightning zinging through Toshinori's gut. Aizawa pulled back, just barely, breath still soft on his cheek. Toshinori was weightless, and there was no consequence in the world that could touch him. The safe feeling, familiar yet stronger than ever before, demolished the last bits of cluttered shame and regret, and that was before the fingers sliding lightly along his jawline, his ear. "Now, what do you really want?" he murmured against his lip. Toshinori's body surged with need. His experience narrowed down to Aizawa and the places they were touching. How much more he wanted. "I want you to make me come like this." "Like this." "Well, a plus for honesty," Aizawa murmured huskily as he pulled away. The quirk of his mouth was pleased, maybe even a little shocked. Then, of all things, he shook his head. I shouldn't have asked. I took you someplace hard, and I'm sorry. I don't think it's smart to. I want it," Toshinori said hoarsely. Then cleared his throat. Tried again. "I asked you." It wasn't his imagination. Aizawa was visibly taken aback. "Okay." His voice was faint. He paused, thought, shook his head, harder this time. Toshinori, please, Shota. I saw what locked eyes with him, something complex playing out in his expression, but the older man didn't look away this time. After a moment, he breathed out and yanked absently at his own hair, twisting thick strands around his fingers and knuckles. It was the first time Toshinori had seen him do it, and his first thought was that he wanted to try too. He wanted to try a lot of things suddenly. Let's take it slow then. You need to talk to me. Tell me what you want and don't want. Otherwise we stop. Toshinori nodded, as long as it would get him closer. All of the emotions and feelings of the past weeks that he had pushed away assaulted his body all at once, given permission to exist. And his entire self was a cacophony of calls for this man. And now, properly supported, he was weightless again. Weightless, and he could finally see and say what he wanted. Turns out he wanted a lot, and the ugly beliefs he had just dropped from his body only gave him more room for that want. Do you want the blindfold again? I want to see you. Toshinori watched with a distant satisfaction as Aizawa's expression changed again, this time holding a special kind of caution. Then the careful look softened into a careful smile, and he saw Aizawa's eyes glint red, profoundly interested. He wanted very much to be the kind of thing Aizawa was interested in. May I unbutton your shirt? Yes. One by one, his hands worked through the buttons of his business shirt, stripping him by stitches. Every rustle of the shirt tickled his skin, and once more the reins amplified every sound. When Aizawa reached his waist, Toshinori stiffened slightly, remembering the warped, sucking wound on his side like it belonged to somebody else. But Aizawa began to touch the safe crest of his collarbone and down his chest, then leaned forward and placed a single kiss on his neck. The last of the buttons went, and the plain white shirt sloughed down his shoulders, and he was exposed. But fine. He shivered and knocked his nose against Aizawa's rough cheek, soothing himself with the simple contact. You need to breathe, he reminded him softly, and Toshinori nodded, setting up his rhythm again. He breathed and focused on the slow, careful path of Aizawa's hands as they slid around his back again and rubbed, working out pain and stiffness from the past hour of his life. Or maybe it was three, he had no way of knowing. He sighed, and the reins dipped enough for him to arch indulgently into Aizawa's grip, and Aizawa murmured some kind of praise for his responsiveness, brushing his lips over the exposed length of his neck again, another waterfall of shudders. His body, thin but robust, responded openly and instantaneously to the touch. He welcomed it and was able to let the arousal run circles in his tight belly, moaning when he wanted to. It was a blessing to be in this man's hands. At last, Aizawa's hand slid down his front and tested the front of his pants, fingers gripping the hot bulge carefully. He lightly rubbed his straining erection through the rough fabric, and Toshinori shivered, twitching ecstatically. He wanted to bite the throat in front of him, consume him somehow, but he also wanted Aizawa to get inside his pants as quickly as possible, without any distractions. Aizawa pulled at his waistband sharply, and his cock flexed in the added space, pressing into the younger man's hard thigh. Is this okay? Yes, he said in a rush, closing his eyes. Stop asking me and keep going. I told you, that's not how this works. Impatient. Aizawa murmured chidingly, but despite himself, went a little faster. Maybe because he was excited. He unbuttoned the pants and flung off the endless belt that Toshinori always used to pin All Might's enormous clothes to his frame. The older hero made a soft noise as the pants fell around his legs, pooling in Aizawa's hands. Toshinori only realized that Aizawa had been holding his breath when the other man let it out, short and sharp. He glanced down to see Aizawa looking at him. Holy shit. You didn't lose much, did you? He muttered blankly, brows high. Toshinori's rock-hard erection hung at his thigh, perversely healthy and thick in spite of his body. It was the older hero's first reaction to Kao, maybe beg him not to look or comment. But right then, all of him was flushed and alive, and it just felt like another voice in the choir, commanding Toshinori to do everything and anything to get the other man's hands on his cock and squeeze until he blacked out. The last time he'd had this much feeling build up in him, it was a Texas smash 5 years ago, and he thought it had saved the world. "You can add a bandage or two if you think it's too much to handle," he heard himself say, low and gravelly. He would regret it, but in the nicest way. Aizawa dropped his pants the rest of the way to the floor and raised his hand, dark hair floating upward, and the two of them shared a plainly starving grin before the reins snapped into motion. Aizawa flicked his fingers and flung Toshinori backward onto the couch, his long, lean body stretched along its length. He bounced once. His arms were lifted and secured above his head, with a sharp zipping noise. He bucked and the reins caught his waist next, bearing down on his pelvis in a lattice pattern with dizzying quickness. Then his legs wrenched apart, restraints tightening with exquisite deftness on his ankles, which were still half-tangled in his enormous pants. He gasped, exposed, cock straining against his belly. The bandages gave a warning tug, and he'd stilled perfectly, mind white. And of all the places he was tied up, firmly striped with creaking white, his left side was completely clear, untouched. The ugly crater lay carefully barricaded and sheltered, and it was a strange feeling, wanting to come and cry with equal desperation. "You were saying?" Aizawa murmured archly, pure velvet. He was saying he loved Aizawa, and he was unspeakably lucky to fall into bondage and trust with someone so exquisitely careful. And that, maybe, he deserved that care. "Don't stop," he said instead, voice cracking. Aizawa smiled and tilted a hand. A single restraint drifted up and looped over and around the hero's erection, squeezing a guttural groan out of the older hero, as much from the idea as the feeling. He refused to break eye contact with his captor. His cock pulsed maddeningly, but he knew better than to strain. Once Toshinori's body was strung like an elegant piece of tsukamaki, Aizawa reached down and undid his own pants with deliberate motions, the fabric audibly crumpling and shifting as he pumped at his cock underneath. Toshinori's mouth went dry. He could hear the wet sound of precum sliding over hot skin in a tight fist, and the unfairness of it was unbearable. "Don't hide," he growled. Toshinori's voice was uncommonly deep, a command from his center. It was the same voice he used, was, in a different body. But now there was no difference. At that moment, he was everything that he had ever been and ever would be, and he wanted to see Aizawa's body and arousal. Aizawa's eyes glinted appreciatively, maybe at the irony and maybe at the impetuousness. Probably both. He was a strange man. The contrast between them was appreciable. Toshinori, in the public eye as All Might, yet hiding himself, and his companion, virtually unknown and unseen, yet unabashedly authentic. Keeping his gaze, Aizawa loosed his pants around his hips and walked closer to the bound man, showcasing the swollen cock sliding against his palm. "Come here," Toshinori commanded. The order game. This could go two ways. Or had it been going both ways all along? Regarding him with a feline independence, Aizawa soundlessly straddled the older hero, careful not to put too much weight on his legs. Aizawa's heavy, steady breath and Toshinori's tortured body fell in time, swelling, releasing in a slow, pendulum rhythm, mind going white. He hardly noticed the other man's hand drifting down between their legs as he bent to look into his sparkling blue-black eyes. All Might, he whispered, and Toshinori's entire body roared to life. Yes, it made sense. It fit. He fit. How could he not feel powerful like this? His limbs were velvety loose in Aizawa's restraints, and yet he was completely in control, burning with possibility. He felt golden, invincible, powerful enough to reach up and kiss the other man, groaning into his mouth as Aizawa's hand grasped the base of his erection and squeezed. The restraints were the set boundary, allowing everything. Atop him, Aizawa panted haggardly and bruised his mouth with kisses that were too late in the game for the slow, sticky way he worked mercilessly at Toshinori's thick cock, slick fingers swirling over the head again and again. Then the rein tightened at the base, making Toshinori moan sharply. His eyes rolled back and his hips bucking, hard pleasure pooling in his gut. Toshinori's captured hands twitched. He ached to touch Aizawa in the same way, to feel the heft of his cock in his hand and hear him groan. He bit and kissed the hero's lips like he wanted to treat his cock, and the younger hero shuddered, seizing the arm of the couch above them with such brute force that it creaked and splintered underneath the cushion, the sound muffled and close. "Is this what you wanted that night?" Aizawa whispered harshly into his neck, and with no warning grasped both of their cocks in one hand and stroked. He expertly rolled his hips and fucked them together in his hand, the slippery, brutal sensation paralyzing Toshinori's body and dragging him right up to the edge. "Damn it, yes, don't stop, please don't stop." Toshinori said something else, he's sure of it. Affirmations, please to continue. But that part of him whited out as the other hero fucked up against his hips, forcing his legs apart with every thrust and pumping his swollen cock against his own so hard he couldn't breathe. Aizawa stuttered and moaned deep in his throat above him, dark loose hair stuck to his cheek. A single clear thought. Toshinori didn't regret foregoing the blindfold. He wanted to see this above all else. A moment later, Aizawa's brow crumpled with strain as he braced against the couch and came with a curse, hot cum splattering the mosaic of bandages along Toshinori's stomach. Just a twitch of the other hero's dripping hand and the answering ripple of the reins at the base of Toshinori's cock, and he followed, straining against the man above him and coming in waves until the last of the shudders eased from his warm, delicious body. Then, silence. Aizawa grunted and repeatedly pulled air into his lungs as he simply maintained his position on his hands and knees, his wet left hand angled awkwardly to the side, not on the couch. 5 minutes, maybe, and he still hadn't opened his eyes. Oh, fuck. Fuck me. Holy shit. He whispered to no one in particular, then pitched off Toshinori's bound body and onto the side of the spacious couch, his cheek on the older hero's shoulder, their legs tangled far away, and the reins released with a sliding, hissing sound. In the shocking silence, Toshinori carefully brought his numb arms down from above his head, still breathing in and out and holding his body perfectly still. Some of his joints creaked from the prolonged suspension. Bits and pieces came back to him, parts of himself he had surrendered to the comforting pressure of the restraints. And as the images and sensations crowded in on him in that surreal moment, on a couch he'd only sat on maybe 3 times, he began to cry. He hadn't cried in ages, and yet here he was, suddenly gasping. He hardly realized he was half upright and grasping at his naked legs, nails digging into unfeeling skin, until Aizawa's firm arm came between his scraping pieces and cushioned them, drawing him back flat onto the couch. Toshinori only became aware of his heaving chest as Aizawa grabbed that too, pressing the length of his arm across his sternum with a shushing noise. What? It felt like he were violently entering another dimension. Many things were cold and raw, almost metallic, as he haltingly came back to his body, and his body. 1,000 miles away, Aizawa made a low, tisking noise, absently nuzzling him on the back of the neck. Breathe, Toshinori. You're okay. It's called a come down. You went someplace, and now you're back. Toshinori could barely understand the words. The other man was clearly struggling to stay awake, breathing out the stilted reassurances with some effort. It's okay. You're okay. Shh. What? He whispered to himself, not even looking for answers. He tried to come back to himself and slackened when he remembered. Some of it, anyway. It would take him months to fully process what had happened in the past few hours. But for now, he was alive. He was okay. He was utterly empty, utterly exhausted. But somehow, it didn't feel dangerous. Like when he pushed himself too far and burnt a little more of his life through his hero form. He hadn't hurt himself. It felt better. He leaned back, allowed Aizawa's arm to settle into place across his front. It would feel better. Oh, he whispered. Toshinori began to shiver, head whirling, like a distressed thermometer. The hand on his chest seemed to wiggle weakly of its own accord, petting at him, comforting, or trying to. Aizawa. His fellow teacher hummed against his shoulder, far away. Concern prickled Toshinori's messy mind. Aizawa's warm weight felt incredibly slack and heavy behind him, barely conscious. Are you okay? Uh-huh. Really. So good. Holy shit. Huh. I guess I should be asking you that, but there you go. You wanted to know. Now you know. So, that's how I... Relax, Toshinori finished the sentence. From so many weeks ago, downright stupefied at how long it took him to answer that question. He watched, hypnotized, as Aizawa's eyelids began to flutter and his breath deepened into a syrupy consistency. And then he was gone, asleep and soundly curled around Toshinori on his very nice couch, with reins and clothes strewn around their interlocked bodies. Toshinori only had a moment more to look over at the man's scruffy, tired profile in pure awe. But he took the time to gather the wet hair from Aizawa's cheek and push it behind his ear, before rest, complex as it was, overtook his body and mind. To his pleasure, it was a comforting darkness, now intimately linked with the feeling of Aizawa's arms locked around him. Safe. The end. The music used in this podfake is Same Old Love by Selena Gomez. If you enjoyed this podfake, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening. Every rustle of the shirt trick. Every rustle of the. Every rustle. Oh my gosh, I'm just getting worse.